Rook Life by Peter Teagle, with Stephen Murray as Leo and Pauline Letts as Sybil.
I felt really well this morning.
It still is morning. Is the ship in sight?
With the Great Mother herself.
What a thief Zena turned out to be.
Rash hospitality.
I couldn't help myself. She fascinated me. Use the binoculars. Well, can you see them?
There's a billowing form aft. It must be Dora Milton.
We've really done it this time, Leo.
Who would have thought she'd accept?
We've been inviting them for years, every summer.
I felt really fit this morning.
Yes, so you said.
But if I'd shed 60 years like a husk.
Pubescent.
Boy, ripening fast.
Poor Leo. You've been harvested and ground.
The inescapable truth is that these old bodies of ours are the sole repositories of our earliest years. I had the strangest sensation this morning, looking at my thighs.
Oh, Leo.
I'll bet you not one square inch of any part of me, or you for that matter, would stand up to the passionate scrutiny of anyone in erotic pursuit. They'd recognize it at once as old meat.
Erotic scrutiny, be damned. Is that what you've woken to this morning? Oh, where are my glasses?
The sight of my own flesh, Sybil, is like taking a telescopic view at youth, as if this time-abused body had dissolved. And there I am in a bright light, a naked child on a beach. I see myself reaching for the sun, full of lusts and joys and delight. I could almost believe in the power of the will to restore one's lost youth to oneself.
Well, hadn't you better get out of the sun, Leo?
It's odd, isn't it?
Well, the Milton's bringing Zena.
Do you suppose she's livid?
Poor Leo.
Or would it amuse her?
Well, the Miltons are hardly amusing.
I mean, given the circumstances.
Oh, the circumstances are hilarious. Not the Miltons.
Will it make Zena smile?
What a thief that woman turned out to be. She stole you too, of course. Well, I got 80% of you back. But she should have left my books alone. I only survive in this wilderness on the strength of my intellect, and I can't cope with people who steal from my library. Do you know, Leo, that every book on my shelves is an essential detail in an overall plan? It's all that prevents me from becoming querulously senile. The cave of history. It's cool there and dark. And when it's illumined, what marvelous visions. Alexander's route. That does intrigue me. The march through Jordania, the cities on the Euphrates. Babylonia. Ecbatana. Oh, what journeys to be undertaken, Leo. Am I justified? Yes, I think I am. Yes, it's perfectly justifiable for an old woman to construct her world out of ancient history. Why not? It provides one's last ill-tempered years with a marvellous refuge. Well, the thing about the Miltons, apart from their sheer suburban quality, is that they are, like most people, so extraordinarily half-baked educationally. But I can be very tolerant of people whom I, for the most part, despise. It's the only form of saintliness, really, that I aspire to. Self-control, not charity. Let compassion take care of itself. Zena should never have stolen my book on hermaphrodism in the ancient world. It's irreplaceable.
They've sent out the boats.
We are, of course, masochists. But who could have thought the Miltons would accept our invitation? Well, I didn't, as a matter of fact, invite them. I didn't put it like that at all. You really should come and visit us. Could I have said that?
They're bringing Zena.
Well, she could have been sent.
Do you want the binoculars?
You know I have eyes like a hawk, except when it comes to threading these shells. It's going to be a very pretty necklace, Leo.
An hour to disembark. They'll have a devil of a job getting a mule. Won't be here before sunset. I'm parched.
I'll draw some water. Here, Leo.
From the bucket.
Bray for me like a mule first.
No, really, Sybil.
Come on, Leo.
God damn it, I was young only a moment ago.
Poor Leo. Have you never seen the light go out here in the middle of the day with the sun blazing down? I have. I've seen it grow dark on days so bright you could barely keep your eyes open. I've seen it grow dim, as if all that hung up there was a 40-watt bulb.
Zena.
Leo. I am not Zena.
No, of course you're not. Quite right, too.
Quite right.
Have you to deny being Zena? Why should you pander to my hideous oblivion?
It certainly is hideous oblivion if you're going to call me Zena.
I was young this morning when I woke, in the early stage of puberty.
And you're quite skittish still.
Restless. Unbearably restless. Where shall I go? What shall I do with myself? What do I want?
I know what I want. I want to go down and read a while. I want to refresh my mind, Leo. What do you want? I doubt if it's possible.
I want my life over again.
Every scrap.
Every morsel.
Gristle and bone.
I'm hungry for it.
All of it?
All of it.
The war?
Oh, I'll relive the war between the sheets. Why not?
You really are turning into a very undignified old man.
I can't help it. I'd barely reached puberty this morning. I hadn't even been seduced yet in the science lab. And look at me now, a few hours later.
Well, I'm sure I don't feel any need to relive my sexual initiation, but perhaps yours was more pleasant. Of course I know full well your thoughts roam lecherously into little pockets of life here and there into which I was never able to peer, about which I trust you don't imagine I'm curious. What's to stop people, anyway, from taking leave of each other, escaping into some memory or other with a sigh of relief? It's a miracle that people attempt proximity and survive intimacy. Do you know where I've just been? Ecbatana Sasliana, on the Euphrates. A little backwater. In fact, the sewer of the ancient world. But an educated person could still participate in the culture of the far-flung empire. Read the same authors that were being read in Athens or Alexandria. Escape out of provincialism into a world of philosophers and poets. But it must have been dreadfully hot. Loads of flies and refuse, disease. Awfully hard to keep one's mind crystalline. We could walk in Alexander's footsteps, Leo. The dreadful coast of Jordania, well, that's Afghanistan, where his followers endured the worst miseries. We might suffer as much ourselves. But then travellers are masochists by profession. I'll ride on a mule or take the local bus. It's all one to me. The main thing to be avoided while waiting for death is boredom, Leo. You can play Scrabble with Dora Milton.
I wish to God they weren't coming. I've none of your high-minded contempt for them, but I wish they weren't so obtuse as not to recognize that special brand of concern you reserve for them. For a woman of your abrasive personality, that kind of politeness is downright deceitful. You're a foolish woman, Sybil. You've managed to invite people to stay when your intention was exactly the opposite.
And it wasn't the opposite. I never intended to tell them to stay away because they'd no intention of coming. That's why I invited them, because they'd no intention of coming. Oh, you're perfectly right, Leo. It was foolish of me to have come up with a conventional insincerity. Out of character, too, I might add. Good God. Can it be senility? You indulging in improbable lusts and my resorting to social formulae, the kind that I've shunned all my life. Still, they are bringing Xena.
Xena could have been sent. 2 whole weeks of Dora Milton. They've disembarked.
Oh, do you see her?
No. They're unloading a jukebox.
Dora's every bit as loud. Can you pick her out? Look for a glowing red and peeling skin. She's sure to have roasted herself to a turn by now. What bitches we are, Leo. We always were.
Thank God for Mellis.
I thank him for quite other things.
Do you? I didn't know you thanked him at all.
Well, principally I thank him for allowing me to reject all forms of orthodox or traditional religion with his full support. And then one must be grateful for the notion of him. Uncluttered by all the paraphernalia of superstition and government, he does become ineffable, indefinable and wonderful.
Amazing. For more than 4 decades, you've given me to understand that you're a passionately dogmatic atheist. And now, ineffable, indefinable, wonderful.
Yes, well, it's only just occurred to me. This very minute, as a matter of fact.
It must be the Miltons.
No, it's a light.
A light?
A bright light, Leo. God. But no, let's quibble. Any sign of Dora?
No.
She isn't even amusing. She will insist on talking. Do you remember that time she dropped in on us in London while we were packing the books? Oh, she said, I love history books. She might as well have said, I love ice lollies. It would be more to the point, given her size. Have you ever seen her read? Have you ever seen her with a book in her hand?
They're unloading cows.
Here, what will they eat?
Well, they won't. We'll eat them.
Is this going to be pretty, Leo? What do you think?
Aphrodite herself was not more prettily adorned.
What about Xena?
Well, Xena stole...
Sit down, Leo.
Why should I? Nothing but goats on this hill. That's all there is, goats. I feel a crisis approaching. You don't experience these urges. Insubstantial, weightless, as if I might go ballooning off into the sky. I've carried the same weight most of my life, a scrawny 9 or 10 stone. Oh, but the moment I experience myself as thistledown, I've arrived at the point of madness. It's not pleasant, this aerial feeling. It's disagreeable being without a sense of gravity at my age. It's always accompanied by this awful nervous agitation. Well, in the old days, I'd have lost my temper.
The old days are only an instant away.
I swear the vilest things I've ever done in my life, to you or anyone else, the cruelest, they came over me, took me by surprise. I never could understand it.
Always off your guard, Leo. Oh, you needed me.
Smashing things. Tantrums.
You needed a bit of success in your life. You wanted to be famous. Oh, you would have loved adulation, recognition, praise.
For doing what?
I don't think you ever did solve that problem. I dare say for just being Leo.
I sometimes wonder why people whose lives are fraught with failure don't simply concentrate on being perfect human beings.
Did you?
I have an urge to be naked with my head between your breasts.
Not until I've threaded these shells, Leo.
Nakedness is a robe of fire.
Yes, Leo. There she sails.
Before Dora Milton.
It will take them all afternoon to climb the hill, even on a mule. And neither of them will know how to bargain for a mule. Oh, the thread's broken. Oh, help me, Leo. No, Leo. Pick up all the shells first. Oh, what a boy you are, Leo. There. That's done. Now.
Ahead, showing off.
Wear shoes.
Where are we?
Here.
You might have waited for
me. When you lose your temper, I get out of earshot. That's one thing I've learned.
Look. Blood. Poor feet. Mutilated.
You're disgusting, Alexander.
Oh, despised and rejected of men, his way is paved with thorns.
There's an eagle.
A vulture.
Not in this part of the world.
Everywhere. There are vultures everywhere.
Well, I wouldn't know, not having been everywhere.
Oh. Aesthetically, they are the part of me that move me the most.
Your feet?
My feet.
Well, what do you expect feet to do? Fly?
Move. As in Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Move as in emotion. As in the creation of Adam, the Sistine Chapel. My feet move me.
They move you?
Yes. My humble human feet. How vulnerable. How erotic. Don't you agree?
Yeah, hooves would be more useful in your case as well as in character. Tell me why you lost your temper with me on the way up. I bet you don't even know.
You said Sophocles had written more plays than Euripides.
Well, what of it?
You were wrong.
So you lost your temper?
You were being dogmatic.
No, I know better than that.
As well as ignorant.
Why won't you wear shoes? You're not a mule.
If I wear shoes, then I need to expose some other part. Feet and genitals approximate, at least in the male. There's many a time going barefoot has given me all the thrills of indecent exposure.
Frankly, I wouldn't have cared if you'd climbed up here with your penis hanging out, if at least you'd had sandals on your feet. I wouldn't have had to listen to you cursing then, crashing about with all those prickles. Oh, let's stop it, Alexander. It's beautiful here. So still.
Anyone about? You hear anything? Oh, what shall we do?
Wait, of course. Glad you came. Are you glad you came, Alexander? Are you sorry you bought me? You're still of the opinion that I invited myself along?
Look, a well.
Oh, here's a bucket. Oh, I'd love to strip and drench myself. Do you think I dare?
Want you, Helen.
Creep! What's got into you?
Oh, it's the water. There's something in it.
Pretty dedicated to public performance, aren't you? Private hotel rooms don't tempt you much.
That's not it. I was exhausted.
And drunk, and raging.
Oh, impotent too, I dare say.
Quite useless.
Helen.
No, not now. Not here. There are people in there.
I swear it was the water.
Well?
You have some. Well?
Wait till tonight. I happen to like privacy.
If I can last that long. God, I'm a unicorn. I'm critical. Helen, do you suppose this is personality?
Depends if you can last, I suppose.
Last?
That long, until tonight. If you can, it might even be character.
Of which, I gather, you possess an inordinate supply.
Waiting can be fun.
It's going. It's going. 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 Gone. Oh, where's the booze? I need to recover. What a shock. Thank you.
Well, don't overdo it, or we're all going to be disappointed.
Let's explore.
Where?
Up there.
Do I detect more signs of manic energy?
Coming or not?
No. Leave the bottle.
No.
Oh, God, I give up.
Leo?
Leo? It's not Dora Milton. That's something to be grateful for.
Yes. Dora would hardly fall asleep with her shirt open. Don't stare so at the child, Leo.
You must let her sleep.
They do carry such heavy rucksacks these days. It's more like moving house than tramping. I mean, what did we take? A blanket, some bread, nothing monstrous like that. I wouldn't have dreamt of it.
They'll be wanting to eat, I expect.
I don't know. They look as if they brought a whole supermarket with them.
We don't often have young people call.
Oh, she looks a nice girl.
I expect she'll be ravenous when she wakes.
Well, I don't know in this climate.
You and I, we eat like birds.
Hardly, Leo. Oh, what is it, Leo?
Prepare some food.
How should I know what she eats? Besides, there are two of them.
Well, they'll both, I'm sure, be happy to know that they've arrived at a hospitable house.
Oh, Leo, you do clutch at straws. Is it so very hard to live up here alone with me?
But months, Sybil. Months, months.
Time flies. But then, breathe in. Oh. The whole hillside is buzzing with bees making honey. They know why they're here. The scent of the herbs alone is enough to restore one's faith in living. Only you always were a shallow breather. Oh. There'll be a full moon tonight. The hospital ship will be here soon. You should be grateful you're not on it.
Salad, do you think that'll be enough?
If you need to feed this child, Leo, go into the house and make it.
Mm. What?
Are you ravenous, child?
Oh, I am.
You must be exhausted carrying your home on your back like a snail.
Where am I? I thought I was on a beach in Cordoba.
There's no beach at Cordoba. It's inland. But the mosque is fascinating, isn't it?
I thought I was in Spain.
It must have been a dream.
Are you Sybil?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have fallen asleep in the sun. We were up all night on the boat, and what a climb to this house. Oh, it's well worth it. You're above the world here.
Well, perhaps not quite.
I'm Helen. We met your friends on the boat.
The Miltons?
They told us about you.
Well, where are they?
The chicken pox.
Oh, the poor things. Both?
Both in quarantine.
Both?
Both.
Leo! Leo, the Miltons have got chicken pox. Leo! The Miltons have been put in quarantine. They both got chicken pox. Leo! Leo!
Hello, I'm Leo.
The Miltons have been stricken, have they? Covered in polka dots, I expect. It must have been Sybil's magic. She's a powerful old witch.
We were expecting them, you see.
Yes, indeed.
They're such kind people.
We have a flat.
In London.
We try to avoid it.
We prefer it here.
The Miltons are our neighbours.
Very considerate people.
Very.
They, for some reason, have adopted us. But you see, we are very malicious old people.
I feel so sticky.
We often just strip off and pour a bucket of well water over ourselves.
There's a shower inside. Come with me.
I insist on being buried naked.
My dear Leo, you shall be.
Why do our own children never visit us here? Why must we wait for strangers before we see anyone under 30?
Well, we have no children under 30, Leo. You're behind the times.
Olivia, now she could spend a little time with us now and then.
When Olivia isn't having babies, she's having husbands. There's nothing to be done, Leo. She's tried it here with the children and found it impossible.
We managed with children in extraordinarily primitive conditions.
Yes, Leo, we did, but we weren't spoilt. Olivia would no doubt love to put her offspring on half a dozen mules and send them up to us and collect them at the end of the summer if we were to want it.
What about Daniel?
Too busy arrogantly wrecking other people's lives. Why he should be so extraordinarily able to use other people for his own ends and then discard them, I don't know. He's always found a following. One can't warn them, even if one wanted to. Well, there it is. Ambition and success, and no doubt also an ugly reputation. But you could have had his success too, Leo, if you'd been as ruthless and single-minded.
Have you ever, at any time, liked Daniel?
He isn't likable, Leo. As for loving him, that's mere biology. One doesn't have a choice, apparently. If only Nigel could have spent some time with us this year.
You and Nigel?
After all, if he has an example for his inclination, it's yours.
Homosexuality in my case was merely incidental. One swallow doesn't make a summer.
He's the one who most understands our lives. His life is most like ours. Wouldn't you tramp to India if you were Nigel's age? Sail on an Arab dhow along the Persian Gulf from Dubai to Zanzibar. Spend the last scrap of your savings getting to Bali. Nigel has somehow salvaged God for himself out of the contemporary refuse heap where half our vital values have been left to rot.
That's where the Almighty comes from, isn't it? It seems between you, you and Nigel have knitted up a God of sorts to console yourselves.
We are neither of us so spiritually inadequate that we need to knit our gods, Leo. Nigel has opened my eyes to an awesome possibility.
The tree of life.
Yes, we are all fruit on that, Leo.
Old fruit, the tree of life I have in mind is this.
Oh, really, Leo? You're not going to expose yourself, are you?
A sturdy sapling. That's what I desire to become in the next world, Sybil. A perpetuation of my own lust, as it were. Only I shall not be present to enjoy it. And of what use is even the most youthful and energetic sexual organ without a head and shoulders?
Leo, you are 72.
I regret it bitterly.
Oh, you feel refreshed?
Oh, it was bliss.
You must try some of Sybil's lemonade. Fresh lemon and mint, almost an aphrodisiac.
Does all your water come from the well?
Well, there are no mains up here, Helen, but we pump water from the well to a tank on the roof for our showers.
You are a connoisseur of water. Sybil and I swear this well has kept us young.
I'm used to city water. You know what that's like. Well, here goes. Cheers. What a fantastic sky.
He's a garish old devil, isn't he, brother son?
There are days when I'm tempted to avert my eyes. It's almost as if one were gazing at an obscenity the way the sun sets here. So much bragging nature and human life is so often such a desolate affair. Isn't it a lovely sight? Well, your friend, Helen?
The other rucksack?
Oh, Alexander went for a walk.
Alexander? Oh, now, isn't that charming? Alexander and Helen, oh, what a coincidence.
A coincidence?
I have a passion for history. And a library of books downstairs relating to Alexander the Great. It must be an omen. Oh, I do hope he comes back from his walk soon.
So do I.
Perhaps Helen would like something a little stronger, some of the local brandy.
No.
Can't you see, Leo? She's worried in case Alexander has got lost.
Oh, but he won't, after all. He's not...
Did he go up or down?
Up.
Well, then all he need do is come down.
Oh, we don't want him to break his neck, Leo. Leo and I, you see, are rather like goats. We're very sure-footed.
Oh, I don't know. I frequently feel absolutely fragile as I make my way from rock to rock, as if I were about to tumble like a decanter and shatter at my own feet.
Well, presumably Alexander has youth on his side.
And a decanter. Or rather, a bottle.
There, you see. A blue sky is not blue enough unless a man can make it bluer. You must make the moment sweeter or it isn't sweet at all.
Well, that's exactly what I said. There's enough to intoxicate one. I mean, nothing improves if one abuses the organs of perception.
Wise girl.
I expect he's gazing out to sea up there somewhere, watching this really rather chilling display of celestial splendor. One feels so forsaken. But mercifully also hopeless. And in that there's consolation. One accepts the inevitable. For as long as one is capable of contemplating the inevitable, that is. He'll see us on the terrace. We'll bring out a lamp when it gets dark.
You're hard on our old friend tonight. It must be because he's crowing louder than usual.
That's exactly it. A cock on a dunghill. Oh, we want the sun to be humbled too, don't we, Leo?
How about a nibble of some bread and cheese?
Thank you.
Now, tell us about your friends.
My friends?
Well, the Miltons.
Oh, well, they're really not our friends. We met them on the boat. They were kind enough to bring us some food from the first-class dining room. We were travelling deck class, you see.
Well, naturally, so do we.
And, of course, they told us about you and how you were, well, not so very young.
Charmingly put.
But you lived high up on a mountain. One had to be practically a goat to get to your house.
I trust they were not actually implying that Sybil and I are old goats.
Dora told us you'd invited them. They were very excited, even at the prospect of roughing it, because you had warned them, apparently.
I told them they would have a most uncomfortable holiday.
They admire you very much. Dora said she hoped she and Stephen would be like you when they reached your age.
Not a chance.
Leo.
Well, then they came out in spots and thought it was fleas or bedbugs. Only, of course, it wasn't.
What a shame.
They have to go all the way back to Venice. They're not allowed off the ship before.
Well, it's hardly likely to be a case of death in Venice. A few days, I suppose, and then they'll be out of quarantine. And then?
They didn't know at all. They were so upset. But it seems they might have time to get the next boat, so you might see them after all. In any case, they gave me a letter for you with a forwarding address. And they asked me to give you Zena.
Good heavens.
Oh, where is she?
I'd quite forgotten about Zena. Isn't that amazing?
Hardly. Flesh is more diverting than ash.
Only I don't know if she's in Alexander's rucksack or mine.
Never mind. I'm not ready for her yet.
Well, perhaps we'd better wait until Alexander returns. I'm not quite ready for her yet myself.
It'll soon be dark.
Well, I'll bring out the lamp.
There she is, Sister Moon. And you, of course, are angry with Alexander, who's left you here among strangers. Did you quarrel?
I don't think so. But Alexander quarrels with me when I'm not even around. I've found scribbled hate notes left for me. Oh, well, I won't go into all that. He tells me I'm his sanity, that he can't live without me. And then he accuses me of forcing myself on him. I can't think why I'm telling you all this. What's Zena?
Don't you know?
No.
Didn't the Miltons tell you?
Well, they didn't know.
They didn't know?
Alexander and I thought it was perhaps a code name for hashish or aspirin or something.
Did you really? Zena certainly might be said to have had the effect of hashish on some people. She did shun the rational faculty. She was a nerve irritant, cruel, witty, superstitious. She tried desperately to achieve a degree of honesty in her life, though never in material things. A pilferer, I'm afraid, despite her best intentions. She was determined to transform her nature and make out of it something good. She longed to be a saint.
I shall be very disappointed if Alexander doesn't turn up tonight. I shall begin to think we all imagined him.
Oh, I certainly didn't. I'm not capable of it.
He's a bit of a lad.
Perhaps we could call him down off the mountain, if we all put our mind to it.
Sybil adores party games.
Well, we could sit quietly and think hard. Shall we, Helen? Shall we see if we can will him down off the mountain?
I don't know if I dare. I'm sure I shall regret.
Oh, the presumption of the girl. She really does believe all she has to do to produce her man is will it.
Shall we show him, Helen?
I'll try.
You see?
Where?
Look. Do you know what she said before we came out here?
Alex.
I would be ashamed to take a holiday in a country where they torture people.
But here we are.
Because of me. I've made this girl shameless. She'd even follow me into the sticky little room where they crack thumbs or is it toenails. Hmm? She'd sit there for the sake of me while some humble little sadist wires my genitals. Oh, she'd set the world to be with her love. Wouldn't you, sweetheart? Alexander Nevsky. That's me, from little old Denmark. You must be Leo the Lion, wise old fart.
Ah, I beg your pardon. Unintentional. No blame desired or given. He is Leo, yes. And who am I?
You are not my mother. Because she, if you will forgive the expression, is a great bitch.
It would seem that we are to attach blame after all. In this drunken outpouring, there is clearly an accusation.
No. I don't accuse anyone. No. Character is destiny. I am the little shit that I am because my character is exquisitely formed to make it so.
Alex, come down. You'll fall in the well.
I'm so glad you came instead of the Miltons, Helen.
The ancient Greeks exposed their unwanted children on the mountains.
Don't you make any mistake about me. I am wanted.
You fall in the well. Get down, Alex, please.
Alexander the Great, who may have been a ruffian, Helen, a Macedonian hooligan, or a shining intellect, and I'm sure I'm not convinced of one more than the other, had an extraordinarily violent temper. It was the one thing he could never control.
Alex, please.
No, leave him. Yes, Alexander ordered the massacre of the whole male population of Thebes and Tyre. The women and children were sold into slavery. Some historians consider it enlightened. He could have followed contemporary practice rather than limit himself to the destruction of only Thebes and Tyre.
He can't bear it. He's going to kill himself.
He well might.
In fact, Alexander refused food for 3 days after murdering his friend and general Clatous in a rage. That, too, has been seen by some as a step forward in the evolution of morality. A human touch.
One sees the stars less well tonight because of the moon. You see Cassiopeia there?
You do have sleeping bags?
Yes.
Well, you're better off here. It can be stifling in the house at this time of the year.
Oh, let me help.
No. Let Leo tell you about the stars. It makes him happy.
There, you see? W.
Cassiopeia.
A pretty name, don't you think?
The plough pointing to that bright one, Arcturus.
Arcturus!
But the grandest sight, if you should happen to wake from your slumber in an hour or two, are the Pleiades, the 7 shining sisters. The waking dream, the crown, a night of bliss. Sybil and I have often slept out here ourselves.
And watched the heavens revolve. But it's all gone in the blinking of an eyelid, the night's over. Shall I leave you this lamp?
Well, the moon's very bright.
Oh, then I'll take it in. Don't worry about waking us in the morning. We rise early. Come along, Leo.
They must be exhausted. Good night, Helen. Good night, Alexander the Great.
You are ugly, Alexander. So very ugly. Now get down, you're falling.
Helen, help.
Ugly. Your feet are covered in blood. It's a disgusting sight. Oh, where's the towel? Oh, where's the tin? It's not hash, it's ashes.
What?
Oh, never mind. Well, she can stay here overnight. These cuts will turn septic if you don't let me clean them. You'll plead oblivion in the morning. Only you'll have to remember one day, Alex. Why here? Here, it's so overwhelming. So still. Beautiful. And you, such ugliness.
Don't. I can undress myself.
Ready? I'll go down, make some coffee.
Helen?
What?
Come and watch the sunrise. Oh, the moon hasn't set yet.
Where do you suppose we are?
I say we're in heaven. There's even a waiter to bring us coffee.
Helen!
What?
You miss the sun. It's bubbling up.
The sun rose having no other alternative and shone upon the nothing new. Who said that?
Hitler.
Wrong again. It was Stalin. But we don't want to waste time on political debate, do we? Not when we have nature in all her sexual splendour to fixate us.
I hate you.
Such an ugly image. Oh, I am a bird without its wings, a cat without its claws, a creature flawed am I.
It's rising up, up. Here we are, the golden disc divinity of life. I am not here to punish anyone. I am possibly not even here. Only consciousness is somewhere. If not embodied, then at large. That way, one is certain to survive, indestructible. If it fits, let him wear it who can. Jacob. Helen. Jean. Oh.
You're either idiotic or ill. Which?
I am idiotic.
I want to sleep. Leave me alone.
You know what? Leo fancies me.
You were disgustingly rude to him last night. Why?
Impulse and intuition, plus a natural flair for bad manners.
Then you remember.
Remember?
You're not going to say you blacked out.
I was rude to him.
Exactly.
What did I do?
You called him a wise old fuck.
I didn't.
You did.
Oh, very rude of me.
Don't you feel ill?
Ill? No, why should I?
Headache?
No.
Tired?
No. In fact, I'm positively frothing at the mouth now we've delivered the goods.
I want to sleep, Alex.
Oh, dear God, if she should die before she wake, I pray thee, Lord, her soul to take.
I feel terribly unreal being here with you at all. It just gets worse.
You have, I would say, 45 seconds, perhaps 150, before the sun lifts its ass out of the sea. Are you going to stir yourself for takeoff, or are you going to dream your life away? Nature's machinery, Helen, is positively creaking to give you a spectacular sight. The heavenly juggler is bouncing his balls. Did I say balls? Up goes the sun, down comes the moon. Krishna dances while Helen snores. See. See where Christ's blood streams in the firmament. Poseidon is rising up. His big pot is out of the tub. At any moment now, the apparition will reveal its true sex, solving an ancient mystery regarding not only its identity and status, but revealing once and for all to mankind the true source of its heat. Gloria in excelsis genitalia! Or where would we all be if we were all nude? Regarding impotence, of which I have heard many a dark rumor, did you ever hear of the original god? He married his hand out of masturbation, a habit of which you will have heard, or are directly familiar. The other deities came to be. Winnie the Pooh, Alice in Wonderland, Rupert Bear, and all those other idolatries that smile or frown upon our earliest childhood. A little anthropology can be made to go a long way. Buddha swings, Buddha falls, Buddha hurts his...
Shut up.
The truth of the matter is, you are, without any question of a doubt, you already have slept your life away. Profoundly unconscious, she dreams of herself. And what does she see? My truth, scorned love, you are more abstract than Buddhistic logic. How can I comprehend the nature of one who will not be accessible? Telling me always and only to piss off.
I'm going into the house. I can't find you.
Ah. She is upset.
Oh.
Bad dream.
Dear me, the seven sisters can't have been doing their job. Milk? Sugar?
Both. It would seem that I displayed a certain want of tact last night.
You were perhaps not quite of Foreign Office caliber.
I apologize.
I wake early. Time must be running out. It wouldn't do to go back to sleep, mind you. At least I have the illusion of initiative, being up at this hour. What's new in England?
Ah, we've had a sexual revolution.
Oh?
There's a 20-hour week, and leisure's been made compulsory. Failure to achieve orgasm is taxed, and only those forms of puritanism that lead to sadomasochistic excess are tolerated. Cornwall's fallen into the sea, a volcanic island has risen off the coast of Kent, and gone communist. Queen's on social security, everyone has a house and garden. The students spend 1 year in three in the mines. Dinosaurs in the Natural History Museum have been showing signs of life, and the Labour Party is on exhibit at Madame Tussauds. And we have broken off diplomatic relations with Russia, Uganda, and Tierra del Fuego.
Why?
Russia, because of its suppression of the individual. Uganda, because it fails to amuse. And Tierra del Fuego, because of the climate. Have you ever been gay?
Life's long. It's full of fragments. If we're going to label each one, we can, of course. Raspberry, strawberry, plum. But if we put the pieces together, what have we then?
A pot of jam.
Exactly. Something entire, not little bits of this and that.
One swallow doesn't make a summer,
What is a summer? An event? A time of life?
Have you ever been a fascist?
No.
A communist?
More of a socialist.
A liar?
Yes.
A cheat?
I've cheated myself, and consequently, I fear, cheated others.
Who?
My wife.
How?
For many years, I fancied myself in love with a woman by the name of Zena. The Miltons, I understand, gave her to you.
Oh, this tin.
Bath Oliver. A biscuit of distinction. She died in Kathmandu. In the lotus position. Cholera. Her guru, it seems, had told her it would take at least 2 years of solitary meditation in a cave to, as it were, cleanse herself, I presume, of some very worldly ways. Smart fellow, he knew what to do with her, all right. Only she only lasted a little over a year. Strong-willed woman, apparently they found her bolt upright with a smile on her face. Ah, Oliver. Biscuit of distinction.
Who wants a fig?
Thank you.
Leo, have you milked the goat?
It's not her time, Sybil.
She'll burst.
Oh, dear. Well, all right.
Mm.
remind me of Leo. Although, at the time, I suppose, to Sam, rather obnoxious young man. Hysterical, arrogant, and at heart, squeamish and timid.
Why did you marry him, then?
I loved him.
And Helen, you're about to say, loves me, right?
No, I wouldn't be too sure if I were you. But one doesn't waste people, either oneself or others, except for a very good reason. Do you have a good reason, Alexander? Are you building an empire?
I don't know who I am, or what I can make myself become.
Nevertheless, you're in the process of being it and becoming it. Well, are you for throwing a bomb or casting a vote?
I've not much faith in either, I'm afraid.
Or proclaiming, like Alexander to the Persians and the Greeks, a brotherhood of man united in one social life, not by compulsion, but by willing consent and love.
If I could transform myself beyond recognition, that might be my aim.
Stop being scared of Helen.
I'm not. Not Helen herself, not Helen.
Then what?
I don't know. I feel as if I'm not awake, as if I'm sleeping my life away. I'm panic-stricken, as a matter of fact.
Have you ever made a decision?
A decision?
Yes, a decision.
Probably not. Yes, yes. To earn my living picking oranges.
You're rather glib, aren't you?
No, I mean it. Helen and I are going to live taking what work we can find. Pick oranges, work as crew, pack dates. Live in different places. Strike roots where we can. Algeria, Turkey, Spain, Greece, France, Italy.
And this is the beginning of your odyssey?
The second week, to be precise.
For the summer?
Oh, no. No, forever.
Well, what might have kept you in England?
Oh, a third year at the Dreaming Towers of Oxbridge.
And why not?
An unaccountable fit of breaking windscreens of motor cars. A momentary aberration, but I claim no political motive.
You're on the run, are you?
Not in the legal sense. More in the moral and psychological.
Do you want more pigs?
Oh, no. No, I wouldn't dare.
They're bursting on the trees. Oh. Between us, we've stopped you having a lie-in, Helen. We're such early birds here, I'm afraid. But you'll find one doesn't need much sleep in this climate, and even less food.
Don't worry. I've just come to get something.
If it's yours, it'll be in your rucksack. We have a strict division of property.
I want my soap.
Oh, some in the house, Giles.
And my towel, nail scissors and plasters.
I need the plasters for my feet.
Milton's wrote you a letter. Here it is.
Oh, thank you.
A mere trickle. Who wants it?
A sip of mother goat, Alexander?
Alexander's a food neurotic. If you look in his rucksack, you'll find it full of Heinz ravioli. And books.
Not the kind who'd try foreign fare.
Really scarcely the kind to be let travel abroad.
I need the plasters, my feet.
Have you signed some contract, Alexander, to be sent your tins of ravioli in perpetuity? You did say your odyssey was to go on forever.
Alexander and I are not on an odyssey, Sybil. We're on a holiday.
I'm not.
Aren't you?
Holidays end. They presuppose a return to those little jails we all shut ourselves up in.
Can I have some goat's milk? It's quite nice, really.
Oh, my poor feet.
What sort of books, Helen?
Alex has a theory he's made up entirely of intellect. What he's hoping to discover on this holiday is the natural man. Only he's a bit of a cripple because he can't take two steps without the help of a book.
To say nothing of tin ravioli.
Well, I'm practically dependent on books myself. I couldn't last a week under this sky without literature and history.
Tarzan, Lord of the Apes. R.D. Lang, The Divided Self. The Making of the English Working Class. The Night Kitchen and sundry other works illustrated by Sendak. The I Ching, The Complete Works of Keats. What Maisie Knew, Our Lady of the Flowers, On the Road, Tropic of Cancer, The Golden Ass, The Bible.
My word. I wouldn't care for all that on my back.
And here's my towel.
I'll come in with you. Would you like an omelette for your breakfast?
Oh, that would be lovely.
Good.
Then I'll see what the chickens have been up to.
Helen's inclined to overdo her contempt for things of the mind. We must seem very childish. I feel acted upon, not in control, especially here. There's something about this place. It's playing tricks with me, sexually.
So you've noticed it too?
I think of myself as average, averagely incompetent, averagely capable.
You're being very modest, dear boy.
Only, I seem to have overshot the norm in both directions. Yesterday, for a moment, after I drank some water from the well.
Yes?
And then last night.
Last night?
Sybil.
Yes?
One lucid moment. Like seeing the full moon. Sybil looking at me when I was drunk.
There are times when I think Sybil is a witch. But you were saying...
Was I?
The water, dear boy.
I don't know why, but it always grates on me when anyone calls me dear boy.
In case you are under any illusion that in my old age I find you somewhat attractive, you may as well feel free to retain that illusion. What happened yesterday after you drank some water from the well?
I felt...
Yes?
I had...
What?
A vigorous grasp on reality.
What else?
I felt...
Yes?
Passionate, but also...
I long to hear.
Supremely confident.
Passion gives confidence.
Mm-mm, no, this is different.
How?
I became a lover.
Weren't you one before?
Apparently not.
Why not?
Because what I felt for that one moment was different from anything I've ever felt before.
What happened?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Suddenly I was restless and energetic. I climbed that bloody mountain. I lost my temper and I drank.
Yes, well, I'm too old to be driven up mountains in a fury. It affects me differently.
How?
Principally, memory.
Well, that's what old age is for, isn't it? Memories.
There are memories and memories. One does not like at the age of 72 to discover that one's mind is a brothel. This childhood, for instance. One's earliest years. One's nobler flights of fantasy and intellect to think back on. The birth of one's children. Climbing Snowdon. The lakes. But to have one's mind riveted in so pornographic a fashion on the act of generation, to have before one's eyes, as if acrobatically engaged, a quivering wall of flesh, a muscle, hair, a birthmark, all this to become the sole substance of a mind that was not entirely inferior, is disputably not the best way to go. One can't be sure, of course, that it isn't a sign of God's ultimate mercy. Sybil and I have been bandying the Almighty's name these last few days as if he were a member of the family. I suggest that you and Helen each drink a cup of water from the well, look into each other's eyes, and make a vow.
What sort of vow?
That's up to you. Then you go for a swim.
A swim?
Take the route you took last night, up there. Mm-hmm. When you come to a shrine, take the path down the cliff to the sea. It's a trifle dangerous if you're careless, but you're young. I'd kill myself, no doubt, but I managed it once. A few years ago. You come to a sandy beach, a cave, a fig tree shading the entrance, and miraculously, a spring of fresh, sweet water. Take Helen there and make love to her. Love her, Alexander. Be yourself. Love her. Because that's what you want to do. But before you go, each of you drink a cup of water from the well.
Thank you.
You will?
Yes. Yes.
Life is so miraculously easy, Alexander, for most of us at some moment or other.
Here, breakfast. 2 eggs for an omelette, and 3 for Alexander.
Smashing. Who's for water?
Pull up a bucket, Alexander.
Helen tells me that Zena's labeled Bath Oliver. Is that her on the will?
No, dear me, I'd meant to put her in a safe place until we could carry out her last wish.
She used to live on this island, you see.
Zena wants to be scattered to the winds. But from a point some 2 days' trek from here...
Most inconvenient. People say she died so serenely, Helen, with a smile on her face and in the lotus position, despite cholera. Indeed, there are people who think Zena was a saint, despite her notorious behaviour. She conned so many people, and she was a shocking mother. She abandoned her children to whoever would take them, ex-husbands, pimps, or Tibetan monks. It made no difference to Zena, so long as she got rid of them. Only for some reason, she never could in utero. No abortions for Zena. She believed in life, you see.
She did, yes. Zena believed in life.
Did it make her so very unusual, Leo?
Who's going to have some?
Glasses?
There.
Oh, I'd love to go for a swim. Only we're so high up here.
They could try going over the cliff.
Is that wise, Leo?
It's a quick way down.
It could be very quick. When Nigel was here one summer, oh, years ago, he somehow got me to go down there once. Do you remember, Leo?
I'm rather surprised Nigel suggested nothing more than that.
I'm sure I don't know what you're getting at. Nigel is our son, the youngest.
Oh, let's, Alexander.
If I were a year or two younger, Helen, I'd take you there myself.
If you would be so kind as to lend me the golden ass, Alexander.
Hmm.
Whose translation is it?
Robert Graves.
Ah. A charming story, Helen. Thank you. Do you know it? Of a man that has been turned into an ass.
Sybil is jealous.
She's a wonderful woman. I hope I'm like that at her age.
Perhaps you will be, Helen. Oh, dear, I'd better help her with the dishes. No, we need these chores, Helen, or our days would lack style. You two go for a swim.
Ah, snorkel.
Flippers?
Towel.
Did you?
What?
Well, feel anything. Just now. The water.
What about it?
Oh, nothing. My dream. It's just come back to me. Zena.
Zena?
A woman in the sky, flying like an eagle at night. Then she dissolved into a powder. But ash, it rained down into the well. The water began to sparkle like the sky at night, full of stars. What are you going to do, Alexander?
I'm going to drop her ashes into the well.
Alex, no.
Stand back.
Stop it.
Here goes. Oh, I thought it was going to explode. Let's swim, Helen.
Well, what are you going to do now? They'll know.
Put dirt in the tin. What difference does it make?
How would you like dirt to be substituted for your last remains?
Dirt will be substituted for my last remains. Come on, Helen. To the cave, the beach and a fig tree.
Letter. I left it out here somewhere. Oh, do help me look for it, Leo. There's no need to hide your monoculars. Did they go for their swim?
But they're burning with energy, Sybil. They can't sit on top of a mountain like us.
Oh, here it is.
Oh, I wake so early and then falls asleep in the middle of the day. Do read it to me, Leo. Haven't got my glasses.
Dear Sybil and Leo, we have been struck by the gods for what sins I cannot possibly imagine. Stephen first, then me. We thought at first that we were suffering from the heat, then that it was a touch of you-know-what, because one never knows and we are both allergic to tomatoes. Only, of course, having gone to the ship's captain, no less, because unfortunately I never can keep my mouth shut, it turned out that we both have chicken pox, which I find ridiculous. Only I shall never trust a foreign doctor again, because now they will not let us off the ship. We are being made to go back to Italy and quarantine. Stephen and I can beat the Italians, I shall cover his spots in Max Factor. The same for myself, and sunglasses for us both. That and a scarf and a hat, and I dare say Sherlock Holmes himself could do no better. And so, sneaking across the border, we will make our way somehow, if need be, through Albania to you and your island. I trust no longer in an infectious condition. But send a telegram in case our arrival at a later date is not convenient. This is what I call an adventure. Yours affectionately, Dora.
Leo? Leo, where are you? Have you gone to spy on Helen and Alexander? Have you gone to peer at them on the beach?
Leo! Leo!
Why do we have to go, Alexander? I like it here. I like Sybil and Leo. Why can't we stay?
We just can't, Helen.
Why not?
We can write Sybil and Leo letters. We can send them postcards. We're not likely to forget them, but we are not staying because I can't.
You can't?
No.
That's like having parents you can talk to being here with them. We need older people, Alexander.
Rubbish. We can sort ourselves out.
Huh.
Yes, we can, Helen.
Well, you go off with that Alexander girl, after all the trouble we've taken with your education. And you need never bother to set foot in this house again.
Sybil and Leo impose in a different way from your parents. That's all. It's every bit as heavy.
It's the difference I happen to like. People like Sybil make me feel I have a perfect right to be bloody-minded and strong-willed and pig-headed. And I like Leo.
You like Leo?
Don't you?
He's not Einstein, is he?
Meaning what?
I mean, he's not Carl Gustav Jung or R.D. Freud.
R.D. Lang. And what of it?
He's not my idea of a father figure, that's all.
Now, if you're looking for parents at this stage in life, I reckon you belong back home.
Look, all I said was I don't want to stay here any longer.
All right. I won't say I'll follow you blindly, Alexander, because it's not in my nature. But this once I'll do what you want.
Well, let's tell them then that we're leaving.
Where can they be?
Perhaps they never existed.
That sounds like an Alexander way of dealing with a problem.
Perhaps we're meant to live in this house without them.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
You know what my idea of perfect freedom used to be?
What?
My mother and father dropping dead.
Well, they did. Very obliging of them, if you ask me.
I reckon they decided it was the only way they had left of influencing me.
Guilty?
Only when I treat you badly.
Oh. There you are. Did you have a good swim? Yeah. Have you seen Leo?
No.
Oh, I've been scrambling about on the mountain looking for him. Oh, we're irascible old people, Helen. Our way of life is easily upset.
Oh, I'm sorry, but...
Oh, well, it's none of your doing. You're the world. The world intrudes. We're here to escape from the world. The world is down there so much that Leo and I despise. Oh. When Leo and I first came here, there were nothing. Poverty, peasants' hovels, and now... millionaires' yachts and vulgarity and riches. We've lived here, we fancy, as the poor of this earth do. Only, of course, partly by choice. And we do have education, at least. Well, the donkey men bring us letters, they save us our journey. You see, we do like to be alone, Leo and I. There's always been trouble when others arrive.
Alexander, what can we do?
Well, you've already done all that you can, the two of you. Life is not to be denied merely because one is old. Oh, where is Leo?
He was down at the beach.
Alexander, he was not.
He was, Helen. You didn't see him.
Where?
Behind a rock.
Behind a rock?
I see. And you left him there?
It seemed more discreet.
Discreet?
What was he doing down there?
Discreet?
He obviously wanted to be frightened.
And so you came up without him?
They say it's always harder to get down.
Well, yes?
I thought it would humiliate him, to be helped.
Oh. One always in the end reveals what one had wished to hide.
I can be quite amazingly broad-minded.
Oh, can you? Now perhaps you would go down and help Leo up the cliff again.
Yes, of course we will.
Stay here with me, Helen. Alexander, I'm sure, can manage on his own.
Ah, yes.
Oh, I wonder how much you know, Helen, of the depths out of which human behavior arises.
I'm not even sure I've learned to think.
So what do you do when you're not on an odyssey?
I was a music student, only I quit because of Alex.
Will you follow him to the ends of the earth, come what may?
No, not come what may.
Then you have a sense of limitation.
I've only been out of England 2 weeks, and already I'm thinking in a month or perhaps a year, or sooner or later, somehow I must make myself responsible for a return to a... what Alexander calls one of those little jails that we all make for ourselves. That's my limitation. I suppose that I cling to that. While what Alexander wants is life and experience and travel and movement and the world. And for him, that's always going to be just around the corner.
But not in England.
Perhaps not anywhere. I don't know. We must both be shockingly timid. Or else I give Alexander that feeling.
Perhaps you and Alexander are not destined for a long journey together, Helen.
We're well equipped for the time being. Loads of Heinz best ravioli.
Oh, really, Leo? You hurt yourself. How clumsy you are.
Give me a gash, Sybil.
Oh, well, it's all in a good cause, as they say.
Impertinent.
Not at all, Sybil, not at all.
Would you like a plaster?
I think a bandage would be more appropriate. That is, if Leo isn't altogether like Humpty Dumpty now. You should not have let him come up by himself.
Alexander was otherwise engaged, weren't you, my father?
Helen, there are bandages on the shelf in the bathroom.
Yes.
I've had a letter from Nigel.
Oh, yes. Bali, I suppose.
Komodo.
Komodo?
Nigel has been watching dragons in Komodo. Komodo dragons.
They're great big lizards, Alexander, and would appear to be the island's only claim to fame.
He's very well.
Always is.
Oh, I'd better help Helen find the bandages. Draw up some water, Alexander, so that I can bathe Leo's head.
You dirty old man.
No, not really. Well, not in the usual sense.
You extraordinarily dirty old man.
Flesh, life. My son spends his time watching Komodo dragons. Lovers are more awe-inspiring. Pursues the vision for a lifetime. One prospects, one drills to invade the innermost sanctuary, the last hiding place. For what? A cup of immortality? Everlasting life?
Helen and I thought we'd make our way to the other side of the island. Can one get a boat from there?
Yes.
How do we get there?
Due east.
Why did you do it?
To see, Alexander.
See what?
To have the vicarious pleasure of living once again in an energetic and youthful body.
Whose body?
Exactly. Whose? Why not be all things, all joys, omnipotence? Oh, Zena, Zena, you've led me in a desperate dance. Ah, Oliver. I loved her, you see. Loved her. Loved her. I always saw the child, you see, though the woman was ferocious. I loved her. I saw something so unimaginably vulnerable. Only, of course, they cackled and reasoned me out of it.
Why?
The warning voices, dear boy, the sibylline voice. To love the woman is to leap off a cliff, but what choice did I? Ran through my life. One is grateful for vigor. The absence of ecstasy is hard to bear.
The absence of ecstasy?
One must find it. That precondition of childhood in later life. Somewhere. Somehow. Oh, Zena, Zena, you were so immoral. So antisocial, so vicious.
My God, what does joy have to do with justice? You tell me that, Alexander.
Not much, apparently.
Are you by any chance a bitter young man?
Are you a reconciled old one?
Almost. That's what she was after. Reconciliation. Squatting in her Himalayan cave. One must ask oneself, of course, whether reconciliation is a crime. The world is, after all, a place of such stunning brutality. Ugh. Are you cold in this heat?
I get the crude impression that you're buggering my mind.
I apologize.
You're discharging a lifetime into me, only I am not aware that I made myself available.
I can only apologize, dear boy.
Am I going to see your face forever? Staring at me, over a rock, in the most private moments of my life.
Oh, what a thought. It almost makes me immortal.
Perrin tells me that she and Alexander are leaving.
Oh, are they?
They want to get to the other side. One always does with islands.
We can't do it in a day, Alex. We sleep out on the mountain tonight.
We did. We slept out on the mountain, Sybil and I. Many a night we've spent wrapped in a blanket. One wakes all the time because of the discomfort, but then the night is full of stars.
How did you come here in the first place?
I was a prisoner of war here. I came back with Sybil. She was enchanted. And now here I am again, a prisoner of love. Do you know, Helen, when I married Sybil, I asked myself whether I wanted to be faithful to her. I was. But it took 10 years of marriage before I knew the answer.
And the curious thing is, he was faithful when he wanted to be unfaithful. And unfaithful when he wanted to be faithful. Aren't people odd?
And what did you do, Sybil, when you went on an odyssey?
But I've always been on an odyssey, Helen. I've taught. I've always known what I wanted to do with myself. But Leo, if one can take him at his word, has had a very unsatisfactory time of it.
I've always remained the person that I was, you see. Whereas I used to imagine that I would one day be free.
Fact.
I've something for you, Helen. I must get it.
Oh, I don't think I want to be outdone by Sybil.
You were right, Alexander. We have to go.
Leo thinks that he and I have got some special kind of understanding.
Sybil thinks she knows more about us than we do.
We've been at war, Helen.
Balancing on a tightrope.
I panicked.
As usual.
Everything's been rushing past me, Helen, as if it were all an advertisement. Only now it's here. The sky, the sea, the mountain. I must have been a fly in a green bottle.
And now you're at large.
We've begun our journey.
We began it a long time ago. Sybil thinks we're not destined to be on it together for very long.
It isn't much, Helen, but the shells are very pretty.
This dagger's Ethiopian, Alexander. Beautiful workmanship. Old, but sharp as a razor.
Thank you.
Post-restant will reach us. I don't think I'll kiss you yet, Alexander. Perhaps the next time we meet.
Goodbye.
Oh, dear. I'd hoped they were going to stay. Perhaps I shouldn't have spoken to them as I did. It was none of my business.
It's with them, Sybil, as it was with our own. Especially Nigel. Suddenly they're gone. One feels guilty. One has somehow, after all, failed.
You would do well, Leo, from now on, to gaze at eagles and leave lovers in peace and privacy.
The miracle, Sybil, the only one left, is life and memory. Once I loved everyone, but everyone. Now I am a cold star. Ash.
You evil-tempered old mule. You and Zena really did deserve each other. I can't think out of what misguided kindness fate kept you apart. Was it worth it, Leo? A lifetime of wishing I was her.
We are what we are, Sybil.
Well,
My charms are all o'erthrown. Let magic now be ended. A life of deceit is mended. Shall we scatter Zena to the winds?
By Jove, why not?
The mountains.
How very spirited of Dora, after all, to make her bid for freedom.
A telegram. We must send her a telegram.
But first, Zena.
A loaf of bread. A
blanket.
Some olives.
Cheese.
Water. Due west for Zena, Leo.
A night out on the mountains for us, Sybil. One more sunrise. Let Brother Sun shine on us in all his naked glory.
Don't forget the biscuit tin.
That was Rock Life by Peter Teagle, with Stephen Murray as Leo and Pauline Letts as Sybil. Alex, Steve Hodson, Helen, Leslie Dunlop. Loud Hailer voice, Peter Wickham. The incidental music was composed by David Kane. The musicians were Chris Wilson, Chris Ball, and Michael Wright. The play was directed by Richard Wortley.